I got a great text yesterday on my phone. Well, yeah, where else would I get it? Sorry about that. Listen to this. This is from a brother. Says this, great work, Martin. Anytime anybody starts a text message to me like that, pretty much guarantee I'm going to read it. Great work, Martin, speaking about the series we've been doing here, The Limited Era. There is no doubt that the more I listen to this, this is so good, and I wish I had brought this up like more, but you know, whatever I miss, the body of Christ that's connected and linked together, they bring this to my attention. I love this. Great work, Martin. There's no doubt the more I look around every corner or look behind every cloud for Christ, the better I love those around me. Now, there's more, but I have to comment right there. Why do we imagine that there has to be this dichotomy, this thing where if you're looking for Christ, you're necessarily neglecting your family or neglecting your job? There's this stereotypical picture of people who are looking for Christ who are, you know, it's because idiots have done this in the past, I guess, who have put on robes, gone to the mountains, just sat there waiting for Jesus to return. Who does this? Crazy people, lunatics. And so this brother tells me, and of course it's this way, but I take it so much for granted that I guess I forget to emphasize it. The more you look for Christ, the more you anticipate, the less weight you feel on this earth, the less insistence everything grabs at you, and then the more you're able to not only tolerate it, but appreciate the things that God puts in your path every day, like your family, your job, the responsibilities that you have. You have to take your dog out to go pee. You have to water your pooch. You have to feed your cats. All these things become less of a burden when you think that you're just hop, skipping, and jumping through it, because behind every cloud could be Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you think that Christ is 1,000 years from showing up, then you get this gloomy feeling, and everything in life seems like a burden. So whereas Clyde Pilkington would say the only way you can be really caring for your family, and the only way you can truly love your wife, is to think that the return of Christ is 500 years off. But that doesn't make sense. It's the opposite. And I don't understand, again, creating this contradiction or this, like, well, you can't look for Christ and take care of your family at the same time. What? That's the only way I can really, with sanity, take care of my family, is if I think that I'm doing it for a purpose. First of all, we know that. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Second of all, that Lord that we're doing it unto is going to return and reward us for being such good stewards of the things that He gave us. And He gave us our family. He gave us our jobs. He gave us our homes. The Lord giveth, the Lord could taketh away. And the Lord couldeth, cometh, anyeth, manyeth, minute. And He could come any time. It's great. Listen to this. I'm going to finish this thing here. And this series, I'm going to finish this series too. Some of you want me to move on. Others of you are luxuriating in this, saying, Martin, take your time. You're a freaking genius. You know exactly what we need. The Spirit of God is giving you this sidetrack. We need it. Keep going. Those are the people I like. The people that are saying, come on, why don't we want the Revelation series to end? It will end someday, and you'll be sorry when it does, I'll have you know. Listen to this. The more I look around every corner or look behind every cloud for Christ, the better I love those around me. How desperate and sad if I should attempt to focus more on my family or attempt to love them better. If that was the focus, you see. Christ and a better understanding of the big picture is what I need. Christ and a better understanding of the big picture is what I need. And what he's saying here is, this is what I need to focus on my family and attempt to love them better. So it's this paradoxical thing where the less you concentrate on it, the more you see it. It's like the peripheral vision. You remember when the Hale-Bopp comet was coming through? Hale-Bopp, that was back in the 90s, I think, maybe early 2000s. And they told you to look at the comet. You don't look directly at the comet. If you see it, if you look directly at it, it somehow becomes dim. But if you look away a little bit and see it through your peripheral vision, it becomes bright. That's because the cones, there are rods and cones in the eyes. I forget which ones take in the light, but it's either the rods or the cones. Perhaps it's a combination of both rods and cones. They're located at the side of your eye. So by not looking at it, you see more of it. And this is the thing. When Jesus Christ was going through his afflictions, he said, the scripture says of him, for the joy set before him, he endures the cross. So he's looking away at the consummation of things, looking to his God, and that is the best way to endure whatever trials you're undergoing. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes our human relationships are more of a trial than a joy. This is sad, but it's the case. You know, marriage is supposed to be a help. Wives are supposed to be helpers to husbands. And I've said this before, if the wife is the helper, called the helper, then who needs the help? It's the man needs the help. Women can multitask. They need us less than we need them. So that's the purpose. It's supposed to be a thing of joy. And yet, and so is the contemplation of the snatching away. Paul says, comfort one another with these words. So all these things are supposed to be a comfort to us. Yet because of the current era, the way the eon is, people are so broken. And I can't believe how many women have been abused. It's like the majority have been abused. It's rare if you find a woman who has not been sexually abused or assaulted or misused sometime in her life. It's just horrible. It's almost like finding a needle in a haystack. You haven't been abused? Your uncle didn't rape you? What? Wow. Wow. Your father loved you? Jeez. It's amazing. Fantastic. And my sister pointed out to me that I should point out to you that this emphasis on marriage is misplaced, misguided, and it will lead you astray if you focus on this. Because for one thing, you would be focusing on something that in the next eon is going to be abolished. That's right. Even in the kingdom, marriage is to be abolished. It's a temporary institution. It's a training ground. It's to train us in the ways of love. That love is not the soulish, emotional, Hallmark, Hollywood movie type of love that just loves because someone's lovable. I love you, I love you, I love you. And it's just like, this is like the Roy Orbison type of love. Bam, 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 mercy. Pretty woman, don't walk on by, pretty woman, don't make me cry, pretty woman. This is soulish love. It's lust, basically. Love will endure, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the agape love. And so this emotional stuff, this union we have between the sexes, it's great for now. It's been great. It's been wonderful. Thanks for the memories. But we're moving on and there's going to be no marriage. Not even in the body of Christ will there be any more sexes. And so this thing's going to be abolished. And so the focus, why wouldn't we be totally focused on something that's destined to be abolished in 5 minutes? In 5 minutes, it's going to be abolished. That's my teaching and I'm sticking with it. In 5 minutes, there will be no more male or female. So why wouldn't the male or female thing start passing away, start getting less insistent? Now, along that line, was there more to this text? It's a great text. Yes, and 5 minutes is way too long. My teaching that the snatching away is 5 minutes from now. This brother says, that's way too long. I'm looking into a perfectly clear blue sky right now. Damn it. Where are the clouds and Christ? And that's very true. We will not be snatched away on a sunny day. That's how literally I take this. We'll be snatched away together in the clouds. If it's a sunny day, it's not the day. If it's cloudy, I tend to say, oh, crap, look at the clouds today. But now, see, I'm thinking, clouds, that means that Jesus Christ could return for us today. Now, along this line, I want to quote from the article again because I'm not finished yet, whether you like it or not. Oh, first, I've been promising you a quote from A.E. Nock from the Concordant Commentary concerning 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that this whole thing, including the marriage thing, that those having wives be as though not having them, and of course the corollary is those having husbands be as though not having them, and this whole thing being related to the and, those rejoicing, not rejoicing, and those lamenting, and those using the world, and those buying, well, it's all one package. and A. Enoch has a great commentary on this in the Concordant Commentary, and I'm going to read it to you now. Quote, "The transient, fleeting character of all of this world's relationships and experiences should warn us not to let them take an undue hold upon our hearts." Oh my God, I have to stop there. There's more. There's so much more, but I have to stop there because this is so great. This is exactly what I've been telling you. And this is a perfect corroboration of my friend's text that I got on my phone. This is a transient, that is, it's passing by, fleeting world, era, eon. The transient, fleeting character of all of this world's relationships, whether it's your relationship with friends, with husbands, with wives, with children, or with things, with your car, your relationship with your pets, your relationship with your house, your relationship with your work. It's fleeting. It's going away. It's transient. But everything that these things have been in your life, training you to be mature people, it's all working toward a greater good. Don't worry, it's not going to be wasted. Nothing's going to be lost, not one thing. My God, are you kidding me? You think it's going to be lost? If Jesus Christ gathered the fragments of the lunch that he had on the hillside, the loaves and the fishes came from a kid's lunch. He gathers the fragments. He tells his disciples, gather the fragments lest anything should be lost. He cares about leftover fish, leftover cod, leftover scrod, tilapia, whatever it was. He cares about leftover loaves of bread, and you don't think he's going to care about the leftover loose ends of your life, whether they're people or friends or jobs or pets. He cares about all these things. He's going to gather them together and present them to you in a nice picnic basket when you see him. It's going to be beyond your expectations. You're not going to be disappointed with what Christ does with all your broken crap and all your troubles and all your problems down here. That's so great. How much time do I have left? Oh, okay. Now, listen to this. I got to read this over and over again because here's the truth of 1 Corinthians 7. Here's the truth. The entire passage is talking about the transient, fleeting character of all this world's relationships and all the experiences. Now, the transient, fleeting character of all of this world's relationships and experiences should warn us not to let them take an undue hold upon our hearts. That's the ultimate warning here. Don't let them overwhelm you. That's what my sister was saying. It's like we all of a sudden the things of this world just get huge and all these problems start to obsess us, and we wish that our husbands were better or our wives were better or our friends or our employers were better. And it's all we think about. It's like, God, if only this situation would improve, I could be happy. What this does, and my friend who texted me on my phone verifies this, is when you start occupying yourself with Christ and the imminence, 5 minutes from now, of his coming, all of a sudden now, it's not so important that you manipulate your husband into the mold you think he should be, or that you manipulate your wife into the person you think she should be. In other words, your expectations for your earthly arrangements start to lower. And this will make you happier. This will make things lighter for you. Life will be like a big bowl of cotton candy. And because then you start expecting Christ, and that's guaranteed. Christ will not disappoint you. Your employer will disappoint you. Your life situation will disappoint you. The new car you want will ultimately disappoint you. Your husband, your wife, they will all disappoint you. Your children will disappoint you. Your body will disappoint you. But the expectation of the coming of Christ is sure. That will never disappoint you. So as you start making that your expectation, you will, by natural necessity or by logic, this earth's expectations, all the things you expect from this transient, fleeting thing will lower. And all of a sudden, you can look at your husband and smile. It's like, hey, baby, how are you doing this morning? Your husband will look at you like, why aren't you pissed off at me? Why aren't you nagging me? It's just like everything's sun and roses because all your expectations of your spouse are lowered. Of course he's an ass. Of course your employer is an asshole. Of course. Of course your children are rebellious. But you do what you can. I'm not saying you don't try to make things better. I'm not saying you just surrender everything. But I'm saying you do loosen it. You do let go because this stuff's going to pass away in 5 minutes. Why get upset about it then? Jesus Christ is going to return in 5 minutes. Why not think more about that? And when you do that, suddenly you'll find that your stranglehold upon your relationships and experiences will loosen. Excuse me. And when that happens, everything's easier to bear. Don't you want that? Isn't that what you want? Your circumstance not going to get easier. The sitch isn't necessarily going to change the situation. But what does change is your attitude about the situation. What does change is your expectations. Suddenly, you don't expect anything. What has eased the burden of my life? And this sounds very cynical. Maybe it is. Is that I've just dropped all my expectations of people. I used to expect such great things from people. Now, I don't expect anything. I expect them to be joiks. Joiks. And if they're nice, it's a bonus, isn't it? I expect drivers here in Florida to be rude. And when they are, it's no surprise. Because the highway system is passing away. The traffic lights are passing away. Left turn lanes and people who don't know how to move into them on a green light so that they're ready to turn left. That's passing away. And some are telling us that these things are limitless. That's a horror story. That is a horror movie. I'm not sitting in that theater. I'm exiting that theater as though there were a fire in it. Because if you make the fleeting, transient things of this life so huge that you imagine that they're limitless and that you imagine that the coming of Christ is 1,000 years away, then the things of the world, rather than growing strangely dim in the light of Christ's glory and grace, they become strangely large, strangely important, over-important. And then Christ fades. His coming is far off, so these things fade away. Christ fades away, and the things of the earth grow large. Is that what Paul's telling us? Hell no. He's not telling us that at all. Oh, wouldn't I love to continue this A. Enoch quote? But you know, it's Thursday. I'm going to finish this A. Enoch quote tomorrow because that gives you something to look forward to. If the Lord doesn't come in 5 minutes, then we'll just expect him. People say, Martin, what if you're wrong? What if the Lord doesn't come in 5 minutes? And then 5 minutes goes by and they say, see, he didn't come. I said, well, he's coming 5 minutes from now. That's the mentality. He's coming 5 minutes from now. Always 5 minutes from now. That's our expectation. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's not a baseless desire. No, this is an expectation based on scriptural revelation from letters of Paul, such as 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians. Letters that belong to us just as much as Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. We are not those who divorce Paul from himself. We take his words to heart. He spoke with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Don't you think he knows what he's talking about? Yeah, I say he does.